Good evening and welcome
Radio.
To New York Metro Weather's third episode of our weekly weather discussion. We're glad to be with you here once again. We are getting ready to gear up here for the upcoming cold season from the autumn into the winter. And our first two shows really have been about the winter forecast, our first show, and the second show was more detailed about the weather over that week. So one thing we want to do is obviously recap the weather from the week before and also talk about the upcoming week ahead. So we're going to do a little bit of both. There's a lot of things going on right now. First and foremost, there is a fairly significant severe weather event ongoing across the plains, Texas Panhandle, Oklahoma, Kansas, and that is pretty remarkable for this time of year. In fact, I saw an interesting statistic earlier in regards to the Texas Panhandle. There had never been an outbreak of tornadoes in the month of November. So that is a first, and currently several tornado warnings out for those areas. Those storms in a very favorable environment and moving east, expected to continue to produce the potential for tornadoes over the next couple hours and then organize into a threat of damaging winds as it moves through Oklahoma and northern Texas. So that's expected to continue over the next couple of days. Interestingly, that system is very similar to, well, not exactly similar, but similar in evolution to what we discussed last week at around a similar time. We were talking about how on Wednesday and Thursday of the upcoming week, there would be a system that would make its way from the plains towards the East Coast, but would be much weaker by the time it got here. And that's very similar to what's going to be going on over the next couple of days. So the system over the Central Plains is at its most powerful state right now. It's going to interact with a northern stream disturbance over the Great Lakes during the middle part of this upcoming week, and we will get the frontal boundary as it moves east towards our area, but it will be much less intense than what is occurring right now over the Central Plains. So that's going to be the story of the week. There is some changes occurring to the weather, obviously, from today into the next couple of days as a high pressure nudges down into New England. Things are going to trend a little cooler, and then we could see some clouds and an onshore flow on Wednesday as well. Today was just a beautiful day. I mean, temperatures were in the 60s. It was warm. There was full sun. Central Park, I didn't get what the exact high was, but I know it was up to 66 at one point this afternoon, and it was just, I mean, in terms of what you're going to get in November, it doesn't get much better than that. So we're going to focus today a little bit on that, a little bit on the long term, and I'd like to bring in my co-worker and good friend Doug Simonian. He's on with us right now. Let me just get him in here on the phone. Doug,
hey,
are you there?
Can you hear me? You hear me?
I can hear you. Welcome.
Nice. Awesome.
So we're ready to rock, and I obviously went through an introduction a little bit about what was going on with the weather across the Central Plains, spoke a little bit about that, and then the funny thing, and I didn't really realize this, I know we did a couple of notes before the show, but one thing I didn't totally think about was last week when we were talking about this, we had a very similar situation. There was a storm in the Central Plains, is very strong, a lot of dynamics, severe weather occurring, and we were expecting it to impact us later in the week, but obviously one thing we spoke about was that by the time it got here, it was going to be a lot weaker.
Hey, it's that deja vu all over again.
We're talking about the same thing 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, it really is so similar to what we had last week. I mean, this system is a little bit more powerful because there's more cold air to work with on the cold side of the system, so there's more dynamics involved, and that's one of the reasons why I think this outbreak was more significant than the one last week. But it's similar with the fact that the effects will be somewhat muted due to the fact that the storm will be somewhat far to our west, and it will also have occluded by that time. So, but that being said, you know, we still might get a nice period of heavy rain sometime on Thursday.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, again, similar to last week, we got a period of heavy rain as the storm came through, and that's going to be a very similar trend as the front comes through again. The main part of the system, like we spoke about, is going to go into the Great Lakes. It's going to, you know, phase with a northern stream disturbance and then make its way up there. But that's really the trend for the week. In terms of sensible weather, one thing that I think was spoken about in our discussions today and what, you know, we've spoken about with our clients as well, is that the weather for today on Monday, for those who listening later, was really pleasant. By the afternoon tomorrow and into Wednesday, Tuesday and Wednesday, we're looking at an onshore flow and some changing weather. You can almost look at the high-resolution models and see by Tuesday afternoon, low clouds really pushing in across southern central New Jersey, and they make their way north by Tuesday night into the city and northern New Jersey as well.
Right, it's kind of like something you'd expect in the spring, with like an April backdoor cold front with onshore flows. It's kind of ironic. Well, I don't know if ironic is the right word, but the severe weather outbreak in the Plains is also very spring-like. And obviously, while we're not getting anything like that, we're still getting spring-like weather across the entire country, which kind of makes sense because in spring you have a clashing of air masses as we're starting to warm up with the pre-existing cold. And in the fall, it's the other way around, but you still have the clashing of seasons. So in the fall and the spring, you can get similar weather effects.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it is classic. It's a spring-like thing because you get the big trough in the central plains. You get a ridge in the east coast, and if you look at the models, you have a trough in the Gulf of Maine, and it's a backdoor cold front. And it's what it is.
It's
really, you know, it's classic. It's like where it's April or May, and that's, you know, what
yeah,
you
my
see
time
this
machine works.
Yeah. All this time you've been hiding it from us, I guess.
Yeah.
So the other discussion, and you know, we apologize. We have a short show, so we have and that was our mistake. We scheduled only a 15-minute show, so. We'll have to figure out how we can make it up to you during this upcoming week. But one of the other major thing I wanted to touch on, too, in the next couple of minutes is the El Nino. And obviously today was a big day in the meteorological community as the ocean temperature anomalies peaked at 3 degrees Celsius above normal in Nino region 3.4. And that's a record. So that's a pretty significant day.
Yeah. Maybe not necessarily the record winter lovers will want to hear, but that being said, there are some significant differences with this El Nino and the previous record holders to where, you know, we still might be able to pull off some cold and snow in the second half of the winter. But, yeah, I mean, this El Nino, it truly is remarkable. I feel like it hasn't really set in that this really might be the strongest El Nino ever recorded.
There's going to be some significant debate about that over time. You know, I don't have a tendency to get too caught up in, you know, Godzilla El Nino or, you know, super duper epic El Nino. To me, you know, what matters more is what's going on with the trends in the temperatures, the temperature anomalies and the global circulations. You know, where are the warmest temperatures? Where is the strongest tropical forcing? How is it going to affect the global circulation, you know? And so seeing this peak, as impressive as it is, you know, I had a couple people ask me today, does this change your thoughts on the winter? You know, because we put our forecast out 2 weeks ago, and it's normal for people to ask when you have a record like this, does it change your thoughts? And my answer was very simply no, because I don't think it's anything that was unexpected. You know, expected peak, what I expected was between 2.8, 2.9, something like that. 3 is very impressive. And it looks like, you know, it might, I'm not going to sit here and say it's going to get higher than that, but it is very impressive. And I think, you know, there's something to be said for that. But generally, much of what we talked about and agreed upon has stayed the same. And I think the forecast for the winter is still going right on track.
Right. I mean, the difference between, you know, 2.8, 2.9, and 3.0 in one, you know, specific section of the tropical Pacific isn't really going to all of a sudden alter the global circulation to make the whole forecast move. You know, it's more of a cool statistic, but, you know, in the grand scheme of things, the pattern is still evolving the same way with region 3.4 being 2.9 Celsius above normal as opposed to 3.0. It's just a cool feature. But yeah, it's not going to change the overall look of the pattern. And as we've already alluded to in last week's podcast, the tropical forcing, at least for now anyway, has returned closer to the international dateline, which is something that was not seen in the previously strong El Ninos, at least for a longer time period.
And yeah, you know, WeatherBell has a great graphic where I got to source back to this, and I'll post it on our Twitter account at some point. They have a great graphic that compares this Niño's temperature anomalies to 1997. So you're looking at the difference. And this one is warmer you know, in the centralized regions, and definitely colder over the eastern regions. At this time
Right.
of year in 1997, the El Nino was much, much warmer than this current El Nino is over the eastern areas. And as we discussed in our winter forecast, and I encourage everyone to go back and read it if you have the time, that has a significant impact, more than a difference between 2.8 Celsius and 3.0 Celsius. You know, where the warmest anomalies are, where they're focused, and how they are spread out and how they're changing has a huge impact on the global circulations. I think that's the takeaway from it. This one is very strong in a certain area, but the people that are comparing it to 97, 98, and they should really go look at the differences on that. That's a tremendous graphic.
Oh, it really is. Very, very informative.
Yeah.
And, yeah, there really
that's
several differences with
too.
97. I mean, you know, not that it's completely different. I mean, you know, if we were to compare this El Nino to 2009, it's also very different from 2009 as well.
Well, it's not even close.
There
not
are
even
some,
close.
Yeah. So we can put that analog to bed, unfortunately,
uh-huh.
for snow lovers. But, yeah, the analog is not really valid. But
yep.
Another really cool illustration, this is a little bit more of a technical illustration of the El Nino differences, is, you know, we always talk about the tropical forcing, and one way to measure the tropical forcing is divergence of law. It's a little bit of a complicated term, but it's just air spreading out at a very high level in the atmosphere. And when you get a lot of that happening, that is what really directly impacts where the ridges and troughs are. And in the 97-98 El Nino, there was just a massive amount of divergence aloft in the entire Pacific. It was insane how much it was dominated by that. And in this year's, there is a pretty good amount of divergence aloft in the same regions, but not to the same extent as in 97-98. Also, the
right.
Indian Ocean is a lot warmer in this year's El Nino than in the 97-98 El Nino, which can also have a big impact.
And these are all things that are so important, I mean, moving forward. But, you know, this year is its own beast. It really is, and it's uncharted territory. And I think that's why, you know, our winter forecast, for those that have asked, and the question is valid. You know, we're not here to hate on your question, but the winter forecast still looks very much on track. Nothing has changed, and I think over the next couple of weeks we'll start to get many more hints as to how this thing's going to play out. And I know both of us are very, very interested in watching that unfold.
I mean, if anything, I'm actually more confident in the way it's going to play out than I was a couple of weeks ago because of everything really lining up the way we expected.
Yeah.
Another interesting thing is, you know, with the, you know, temporary pattern change in the Pacific, you know, we're going to have a brief period of, you know, negative EPO ridging up into Alaska. And while it may not necessarily turn bitterly cold in our area, what that ridging does is it disrupts the stratosphere somewhat. And I know you showed me these images earlier, but the projections on the European model for, you know, the 2 weeks in advance show that ridging somewhat puts a dent into the stratosphere. And if that keeps happening, we could get a disruption of the stratosphere completely by January, which could turn to more negative NAO and negative Arctic oscillation blocking. So,
and that's going to be That's going to be the fun watching that unfold over the next couple of weeks and months. And I think that's, you know, hold off on panicking based on the Nino reading, as impressive as it is, I think, is the takeaway.
Right.
So, unfortunately, due to our scheduling mistake, we're going to have to wrap it up right now, but we do promise you that, you know, barring a scheduled discussion, we're going to be back with you this week. We're going to discuss things further, but we do have to wrap it up right now. Doug, thanks for coming in. For everyone that listened, thanks for downloading. And stay tuned because we're going to have another podcast scheduled this week. Doug, thank you. We'll talk to you guys soon.